Hello, everyone. Welcome to season 4 of VSpeaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. We have 70 podcasts under our belt over the last few years, and I'm so excited that our first guest today in season 4 in studio is Chris Birch, the owner, founder of Grand Bay Construction. He is a good friend, a colleague, client, and a recent partner sponsor of the V Show Home a couple of years ago. We go way back, and I am very excited about this interview and can't wait to get into it. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So we've known each other for a long time. And the more I know you and learn about all that you're doing, the more impressed I am. And congratulations that you are nearing the 20-year mark owning Grand Bay Construction. And what you've built over these last 20 years is extraordinary. And you started out as a 27-year-old guy, recently graduated from Auburn with a building science degree and an MBA. And then you come to Florida and you open this business. Did you ever think it would be what it is today back then?
You know, I did have big dreams. When I got down here, I did realize I thought it was going to be a lot faster based on the timing and what was going on when I had a partner and all that. But quickly, things changed. And then I realized that I needed to do it the old-fashioned way where it wasn't going to be handed to me. And I wasn't just going to stick a flag in the sand and say, I'm here to build, hire me. And so started off with a one-car garage. Whereas first I thought I was coming down here to build multiple story hotels and those kind of things. So anyway, that's kind of how
Tell the audience the story that you were just telling me before we went live regarding the fact that you met a gentleman in California. And tell us about that story and then how the genesis of that meeting.
Yeah.
You were partners at the beginning.
So right out of Auburn, I moved to California to start my career. And I had met this gentleman's daughter at Auburn, and we were friends. So I had went out there, and I was about to start my first job, and I was visiting with the family. And within 5 minutes, it's one of those conversations that, hey, we ought to go in business someday. I'll put up the money, and you do the building. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. And you never, you know, you just sort of forget about it. But 5 years later, they were back in Auburn, and I was back in Auburn getting my MBA. And that was wrapping up, and Ed Lewis, the gentleman's name, said, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. I'm still looking at options, maybe going back to California. And he said, well, before you make a decision, we need to take a trip down to the coast. So in 2004, we rode down here. And I saw just like what I call the Wild West as far as just to be a builder, to see this blank canvas of so much opportunity. It just felt like this would be a whole lot better and easier than going back to California where just all that red tape and not as business friendly. So Walton County is where ultimately I decided to start shop in 2005.
That's amazing. And only 3 years later, you were going to be met with the Great Recession, right?
Yes.
In 2008, which was really hard for people here. And you jumped in 2005. It was pretty booming then. Started a little bit of slowing down, I think, in 2007. But then, you know, we really got caught in a difficult place here. So how did you navigate that being a young business owner, entrepreneur here at that time, 3 years later?
You know, it was a lot of people that were around then. Still, those wounds are kind of fresh when you start talking about them. We were taking on any kind of job we could get. I remember 2008 doing one of the stimulus projects of the government, pouring sidewalks in Freeport on Highway 20 and
Wow. And
people saying, why would you do that? And I just said, we just have to do what we have to do. Mm-hmm. Very humbling to know where you want to go and then to kind of be set back with, hey, we'll remodel a bathroom. We'll do whatever we have to do. And so we did. And thankfully, things started to get better. But it was very, very nerve-wracking there for a while. There.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people didn't make it, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah, very sad. That game of musical chairs when some people are left standing and don't have a chair to sit in, and those that did have a chair to sit in, like myself and you, was literally like the hand of God on that, because it's easy to fail. You know, it's easy to be the guy that doesn't have a seat when things happen, like acts of God and hurricanes and oil spills that we've had to contend with, and so many other things. So just to keep standing, for you 20 years in this business and for me 31, I just can't believe like how many saves that I've got that had nothing to do with me, that just had to be like the grace of God letting me be able to still stand and stay in business. Tell the audience the story about what this gentleman, did you say Ed Lewis?
Yes.
What happened? So in 2008, he wanted to get out of your partnership.
He wanted to get out of the partnership, which I was hurt because he had believed in me and had funded me for the first, 3 years or first couple of years. And so I wanted to pay off that debt, everything he invested. And I did pay it off. The company paid it off. And then I was sending him mailbox money. Every so often I would look at our checking account and I would mail money. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel really good because, mm-hmm. again, why would somebody be a benefactor? Why would someone help me? And but he said, we need to get you out. We need to get out and let you have this business. It was never our long-term plan to stay involved. Mm-hmm. And so I'll never forget that weekend they were in town. And I went and I looked at our checking account and I wrote the biggest check I thought I could possibly write without putting us in too much of a cash crunch. And I got in, their vehicle was unlocked. I found it over the weekend and I stuck this check in their sun visor. And about a day later, I came to my house and I saw an envelope in a plastic bag. It was all ripped up. The check was ripped up. And they wrote a note and said, we don't want this and we're not going to accept it. And it was just an unbelievable experience for them to do that. Mm-hmm. And basically it signed over the ownership and gave me the other half of the business.
Yeah, that's an incredible start for you. I mean, so many gifts and the person being in your life at the right time and being unbelievably generous and a benefactor, like you say, too. And you're still friends today.
Yes.
I think that's just a beautiful story in and of itself, because so many business partners, most, I don't think they like each other too much longer after they're business partners. And the fact that you're still in a good relationship is a victory lap in and of itself, for sure. So your business, I'm so impressed with it. And I can see you grow like every year, every 2 years, I can tell that you're continuing to hone your craft, diversify, and grow. So I'm so impressed with your pedigree at Auburn, your MBA, but then you also have a real estate license and you also have licenses in several other spaces and places in the building world, and you've done that so that you can stay very well informed and be very equipped, and just rattle off some of them that you have that you told me earlier.
Well, so starting back at college, it was funny because the building science, which is architecture, engineering, and business all rolled into one, and our friends would be like, so what are you going to go study nails 101, wood 200? So you learn about dirt, you learn about concrete and steel and all that. Uh-huh. But then later in college, a friend of mine, we started our own remodeling business. So you have to start getting real world experience. And then later on, again, to get that MBA, to get more of that business side, mm-hmm. the real estate, not because I'm trying to be a realtor, mm-hmm. but I want to understand what I'm doing because the transactions, I want to understand that. Have a home inspection license because what we build, we need to know if it's healthy or not. Mold certifications. I'm always trying to say, what can I learn that's going to enhance my core business, which is construction? Mm-hmm. And there's just, especially now, there's so many new things coming on the market, so many new technologies mm-hmm. and things mm-hmm. that it's almost impossible to stay up on all of it. And you can't try everything, be the first one to try everything, mm-hmm. but you got to watch and see what's coming because there are a lot of big changes mm-hmm. as we've had, the cost of building has gone up. We've got labor issues. So there's a lot of people trying to solve how do you build better, faster, mm-hmm. stronger, and more affordable. Mm-hmm. And those are things that we're spending a lot of our time trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a lot. And that's a big challenge. And the pandemic was kind of crazy for everybody, but in your field in particular, like that really just was doing business in a completely different way than had ever been done before. And I can tell I had a front row seat at that time, a couple years after the pandemic when we did the V Show Home in Heritage Dunes, and all that you had to contend with, and you were on a super tight schedule because it had to come to market with all of the marketing and everything that we were doing. And you know, you couldn't get supplies. How did you build that house? And you built it fast and very well. How did you do that?
Well, we had an amazing team. You know, you were involved. We had, you know, Jerry as the architect. We had just a great team of people that came together, and it took that great communication. Every week, we got together on Zoom, and of course, we had site visits and all kind of things that talked about our plan and when we needed to tweak it and how we can't afford to fail. So, very proactive approach, and we've actually taken a lot of that from that, and we're now trying to incorporate that in some new builds because
you did it.
You did it, and you see the benefit of. Or the benefit, if you don't do it, how much quickly you can lose more money and take a lot longer to build. So trying on the front end to have that planning and keeping the customers informed of what's going on is something that I think is going to, that we're working on to make our company stronger and make people have a better experience.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for doing that. And thank you for being a sponsor, because really it did take a team, and we all joined hands together and worked very, very hard on that. Endeavor, but I'm super proud of it and super proud of you and what you were able to do for us and for the initiative too. It was pretty remarkable. We sure did work hard that year and a half, 2 years almost.
We did.
Yeah.
We'll do another one day too.
Yeah, we will do another one for sure, sure, sure. So do you know off the top of your head how many residential homes you've built to date since 2005?
It's over 100, but I've lost count.
Okay. So Churchill Oaks has been a big basically soil for you to put seeds down and grow your business as well. When did you start aligning with Roy at Churchill Oaks?
I want to say it was about 6 years ago.
I thought it was longer than that.
Well, the first time we met was in, I think it was 2012.
Okay.
And we had an opportunity to come together at that point, but timing wasn't there. And so I would say maybe about another 4 or 5 years later is when we decided to come together and start this building program where we would get an architect and start building homes and try to create a market in there, because the place had been, sitting there pretty stale for a long time. And then Roy, when he got the deep water, dock, which is amazing, and a lot of other things just happened in the market. It was, the timing became really good, and the place is really, there's a lot going on out there.
It's beautiful there. Yeah. And you've built a lot of homes in there. What's the ballpark figure?
I think close to 20.
Yeah, that's a lot. And they're beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of property, community, and I love the homes. I've been in a couple of them that you've built, and they're amazing. And I know that Roy and Wendy's home is just completed, that you finished very recently. And you tell me that's the nicest home you've been in.
It is.
I cannot wait to see it.
Yeah, it was. a lot went into that, but a lot of credit to a lot of people. We were just sort of the builder.
Yeah, which is a big deal. Which is surely a big deal. So, going back to sort of the how much this walk is really sort of your destiny, I would say. In that when you were younger, I think high school, where you shadowed your uncle in Chicago who was in the building business. So how did that happen? And how did you go to Chicago there? Just to do that specifically?
So even if you back up even before then, when I was elementary school age, I would come home from school, and in the neighborhood I grew up in, I would stand at the side of the road after school and watch the framers framing houses. And when they would leave, I would walk through the house, and I would try to guess what's this room going to be.
Really?
And
so you've had a passion for this forever.
And really, this part, the smell of the pine, the studs, it got into my system. And again, I would go back the next day, and that progress is really what made it something that I knew that I wanted to do. So as I got older, and my uncle, like you mentioned, was a home builder, and he's just now retiring. I got a chance to go up there and learn from him and do some framing with my cousins and all that. So
it was
really fun, except for in the winter. We did that one Christmas break, and I told him, I said, don't pay me this day, because I'm just over here trying to keep my hands freezing off.
Chicago in the winter, it can be the coldest place that you've ever been.
Yeah.
It's windy, the windy city for sure. So you are a very curious guy. You walk the walk. and you have other interest in building besides building bricks and mortar, and that is building homes for people that are less fortunate, who need their homes remodeled, or building from the ground up. And I marvel at the fact that you're able to keep up with all that I know you're doing on, let's call it, the conventional business side of life, but then you're able to find a reservoir of time and interest to be able to pour back into the community, specifically as founding and board member of World Changers, which is student missions and formerly known as Lifeway.
Lifeway.
Mm-hmm. So my notes have that this organization is in 23 cities and that you've built 300 houses to date. That's amazing. Talk about how you got involved, the story of how it was going to have to shutter, but then you stepped in and you found a way to keep it alive.
Okay, well, so if I go back to around 2010, I got a phone call, and there was a guy from my church, and he said, "Hey, we heard you're in the building," and he said, "I don't know you, but can you go on a trip tomorrow for a building project?" I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "Puerto Rico," and I said, "When are we leaving?" He said, "Tomorrow, for 2 weeks," and so I said, "Sure." So the next day, I go down there with the World Changers, and we frame a guy's house. And I'll just never forget the experience even of the guy whose house we worked on that week. I remember he was so poor, didn't have running water in his house. And he saw me the first day pull up with coffee in my hand. Like, I love coffee. So he was making me coffee, and it tasted terrible. And I'm thinking, I don't know where the water's coming from. I didn't want to offend him, so I would drink a little bit of it. But then I didn't want to keep drinking it because he'd keep giving me more. But just that week of doing that with him and being around those kids, that was my first experience with World Changers. And then David Flatt said, we have a chance to bring one to Panama City and be a host city. So in 2017, I decided to be the construction coordinator for Panama City. And that's when we've, like you mentioned, the homes we've worked on, several hundred. It's not ground up, but it's just going into some very, very... I've been to some third world countries that actually look worse than some of the houses over there that we've been able to work on. No running water, just deplorable conditions.
In Panama City?
In Panama City. It's really unreal.
Really?
And we go in there with our volunteers. Mm-hmm. This year we're going to have 150. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing this in July. And we go in and we go to work in the middle of the summer, and these kids pay money to come here. Mm-hmm. And they go to town. They go to work. And we're a common goal of earning our way by serving them, loving them. We get respect, and we are able to share with them and just support them and love them. Mm-hmm. And then these kids are changed through that. So that's why I love the World Changers ministry. And then next year, we're going to be in 26 cities. So we are, during the pandemic, Lifeway said, we're done. We're going to shut this down. And then David came to me and said, because he had been involved since the 1990s when it started. Mm-hmm. And we both took it pretty hard. And when he told me they were just going to shut it down, I just said, "There's we can't let this happen." And I said, "Why don't you call Lifeway and say, see if they'll give it to you?" And he was like, "What?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Write a business plan." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "What's that?" And I said, "Well, I'll help you." And he called me a couple days later. He said, "Well, I contacted Lifeway, and they're not going to give it to us," he said, "but they will. They're going to take bids." And this guy didn't get excited about anything, but I saw him get excited. And that's where I feel like God told me. He said, "Whatever they ask, the money, you just tell them that the money will be taken care of." And I did. I called Dave and I said, "Just bid whatever you think's fair." Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, worst case, I'm going to have a bunch of old trailers to sell, and yeah. It'll be just a hit and a miss. But God had a lot bigger plan for that. And they took our bid over two other people that were. And our whole plan, how we were going to keep it alive, and we were about around 1,500 the first year, and now we've doubled, and we're going to hopefully keep growing. We have full-time staff now, and it's just something that's very, very powerful and something I look forward to.
Congratulations. Thank you. I mean, that is such a coup to be able to step in and keep something alive that nobody else was going to be able to keep alive and then go ahead and grow it. Amazing. Very, very, I don't know what the word is, commendable is one of the words. When do you go to all the different cities too?
I don't go to all of them.
Okay.
One of my goals, I'm hoping, because this is my eighth year, I want to start being one of the ones that goes to the new cities and meet with the government officials and talk about, if you guys can give us the money and you tell us where to focus, we'll have the volunteers. So it's usually a partnership with public money and our private volunteers, and the impact we have, we show them how it goes so much further. And what we're doing, we're taking tax money. And when you have the tax rolls, the way cities work, they put a value on a property. Well, when they're all like almost knockdowns, we go in there and we fix them up and we increase the property value, which then again makes it where they can tax. So it's a win-win.
Right. So the kids that are coming down, the 2,500 kids, what is the reason that they're coming? Are they getting like school credits? Is it a church program? Like, how do you get the youth to come in the heat of the summer and do this?
We are pulling from church youth groups is really our target market. And, you know, a lot of them want to go to a fun camp and just do fun sports, or they want to go to a football camp, or they want to go to a music camp. There's all these things we're competing with. But we find people who sometimes their parents force them to come or whatever, but most of the time it's voluntary, and they know that just some people realize that it's not all about them all the time. It's not all about just having fun all the time, which is very, very important, but we also have a lot of fun doing what we're doing. And it's only for 4 days.
Wow, 4 days.
But in this heat, July, June, July heat every summer. But what happens to those kids when they come in and I watch them 4 days later, and what happens to them, it's so rewarding for me to get to see that.
And they're forever changed.
And they realize that they can go back to their communities and they can go do what they did while they were here. And we're putting them through a very well program that's not just put together like, overnight. There's a lot of planning goes into it all year long.
And where do they stay?
They stay at schools or churches that are willing to open up their facility. And of course, part of their money they pay goes to pay that facility. But when we're working on these homeowners' houses, and sometimes they'll say, "Hey, how much are you getting paid to be here?" And when they say, "I had to pay to come here," and they were, "Oh, where are you sleeping?" Just like you asked. "Oh, we're sleeping on the floor of a church or a gymnasium." It gets their attention because they would say, "Why would you do that?" And that right there is the what opens the door to conversation.
Are the owners of the homes that you're restoring and or retrofitting in the home when you're doing the work?
Sometimes they work. Sometimes they're there. But we set up a little tent and we bring the food. So we stay there all day and we invite them to come out, sit around with us and fellowship with us, to work alongside of us, much like Habitat does. And some of those bonds that are formed are pretty incredible. But not always. Sometimes people are just, they kind of come and go. But we love it when we get to have that interaction with these homeowners. And it's been some really cool stories.
Amazing, Chris. Would you share with our listeners the story that you told me a couple of days ago about the woman in Panama City Beach whose house you was going to be a teardown? And what happened with that? Because I think if I remember the story correctly, you had driven by that. Like, it wasn't even part of this program, right?
This particular case, there's a woman who I just told a friend of mine who's in charge of the rescue mission in Panama City. I told him that World Changers are coming. We need more projects. And he told me that he knows a woman that is in a lot of trouble with the city because her house had been condemned, and it was a drug house, and it was just it was dilapidated. And I've driven by the house several times. It looked spooky. It looked like a
haunted,
terrible house. And so he gave me her phone number, and I called her up, and I said, "Hey, I'm Chris with World Changers, and we understand you need some help." And she said she drove over and met me at the lot, and said that she was in her car crying a few hours before because the city was putting fines on her house. Every day that she couldn't get her house torn down, they were going to fine her. And she said, "I was going to sell my car, but even that wouldn't cover the money it would take to demo the house." And so I told her, I said, "Tell me who the code enforcer is. I'm going to write a letter to him, tell him what we're going to do for you." And so last summer, we were able to knock her house down. It saved her at least $10,000. Now, again, there are other programs that have more money, and they're going to build back another house. But at least we got the we got the wolves off her heels, and stopped all the fines, and it was a cool thing. Her and her husband were out there every day with us working, really? As we were demoing the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to understand, because my days are so busy, and we were talking about that, and just what all of our lives are much busier. Technology that was supposed to sort of help us seems to have made us slaves to the actual technology that's supposed to help us. And there's always so much going on, and attention spans are so short. How do you do what you just said and then still tend to a thriving business? Like, how does that happen?
Well, one thing I will say is I don't like it when people say, how are you doing? I don't ever say I'm busy, because everybody's busy and nobody wants to hear about it.
It's boring.
It is. So yeah. I downplay it. I have a lot of good people that, again, teamwork. So when this business started in 05, it was just me. Mm-hmm. And now we're up to over, 20 people, and even more than that. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge network of people, partners, mm-hmm. subcontractors. Mm-hmm. So that's how it gets done. Mm-hmm. And even on the ministry side, outside of the profit side with the mm-hmm. World Changers, again, there's a team of people there. I've got four or five other projects that I'm working on. But again, there's a team of people. I'm mm-hmm. just one. Mm-hmm. I'm the construction piece of these other projects. Mm-hmm. So teamwork is, I would say. And then God just gives me the ability, the mm-hmm. desire, and also I'm big on rest. So mm-hmm. if I just try to plow through 7 days a week mm-hmm. and I just said, well, I got to get all this done, I don't think I could sustain it. But because I take that time mm-hmm. out to rest, which I think is very important.
Super important.
That is what, mm-hmm. like on Sundays, I refrain from watching the news, I refrain from social media, and I just rest. And I think that's that reset is what mm-hmm. gives me that next week to keep going.
Yes.
What I found as being huge.
Yes, exactly. I agree. I only got the rest memo a couple of months ago, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, that I needed to rest because I go like so hard. And it was hard for me to do that.
Yeah.
It was so hard that when I would come back to work on Monday and I wasn't able to do a lot of things in the weekend, that I would find Mondays very, very difficult. But I still knew I was supposed to rest and it was important, and I just plowed through and I made myself do it. And it does make all the difference in the world, and people don't understand how we really do have to rest, no matter what you're doing. It's important. I mean, God rested on the seventh day and we're supposed to take cues from him, and it's important.
That's right. That's right. And I remember a long time ago, I read a book. It was Andrew Carnegie, which everybody knows. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to get people to go to a 7-day work week when America was coming along. Mm-hmm. The amount of mistakes, the amount of injuries, the amount of things happen if you don't stop and pause, it's productivity is down. So that is just something that, a lot of people don't get. But
It's simple, but true and effective. So you really need to do it. So that's good that you do that too. Yeah. And I know you're good about that. So a little bit jumping back into your business too. I know from knowing you for a while, like all of the beautiful, prolific retail outlets and destinations and restaurants that you also build out. And a lot of them I know are at Grand Boulevard in Miramar Beach, and they're beautiful, like Rose and Company and Tommy Bahama. And then you go down the road to Alice Beach and Summer Story, and then Seaside. You built Black Bear in Seaside, which is absolutely adorable. And then Ohana. You recently built out Ohana in Grand Boulevard as well, too, right? There's a story that you told me when I'm like, well, how did you start doing that? Will you share that story about how you are knocking on doors just to get some business?
So going back to when I said those early days when I realized that all this work wasn't going to be handed to me like I was thinking it was. Mm-hmm. It was the old-fashioned, you knock on doors, and you keep knocking on them, the same ones, until hopefully you get a breakthrough. And the ladies that were the managers at Grand Boulevard, we kidded about it years later. They said, oh, here comes that guy again. Mm-hmm. They were in their trailers, their offices, which were trailers back then, behind the Publix. And they never really, they weren't really going to give me a shot, but they would let me come in and chat with them. Well, then one day, it was December, I don't remember what year it was, but this woman who was backing out of Grand Boulevard, out of J. Crew, accidentally hit the accelerator in drive instead of in reverse. And so her car catapults all the way through the building, completely inside the building. So I get a phone call, and they just said, "Chris, we've never used it before, but can you please help us?" So I immediately dropped what I was doing and went over there and sort of took charge, talked to the fire marshal, and I told him we're going to have you open tomorrow. I figured out what all he wanted me to do, and that was the breakthrough. Wow. That got us to the next job.
And you did get it open in 24 hours?
We got them open the next day.
Wow, are you a magician? That's
crazy. Well, it was Christmas season, so it was very important. That's when they make all, you
but get even more, like, how did you get the work done? Like, how do you even, order the glass to...
We barricaded it up, but we made it where you couldn't really tell.
Okay. Yeah. And then you've done so much in there since then.
I would say over 200,000 square feet or more.
That's amazing.
It's been a really good place for us.
Yeah. And then recent work that you have done is at the Greenway Station that St. Joe just brought to market across the street from the Heritage. And what are some of the places you've done in there?
We did Turbo Coffee, which is a small franchise. Mm-hmm. They have, I think, 3 locations now. And then we did the Wild Olives restaurant that was in Rosemary for years. And Chris took a break, and now he's over there at Greenway Station.
Yes, I have to go there. I haven't been there yet. Is it like... Wild Olives was?
I think it looks a little different.
Yeah, but still cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. What are some things that you want to do with the business now? I know that you're branching out into another segment of the business besides commercial work. In addition to residential building, you are really sort of making a mark in the commercial field as well. And also with the new maintenance program that you have. So you're diversifying and sort of covering your bases so that you're like a one-stop shop. We explained that.
Yeah, so really you nailed it. You nailed it. We're doing it to kind of hedge. There's so many builders just like us. I mean, there's so many great builders, great companies. So when you think about a slowdown, what can you do to sort of set yourself apart? So one of the things we did is by peeling off this commercial division, and then we're going after some public work because as many people have moved to Walton County, they're bringing tax dollars and there's all this infrastructure we don't have here. So that work is coming. And to be able to do that work, you have to be bonded. And to do that, you have to sort of have, so we kind of spun off a separate commercial division. Mm-hmm. We're growing that to make it be competitive in that. I would love to do, private, bigger commercial private, but again, you need the bond to be able to set yourself apart because a lot of people don't want to play in that space. Mm-hmm. We also have all these tremendous military bases around here. So if we can get in with some of those,
that's great.
That could be some work that sustains us while the private side might take a rest.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you mentioned was a maintenance business.
Mm-hmm.
And we joke about how down here, how houses kind of age in dog years. So if your house is 2 years old, it's really 14. And what I mean by that is,
yeah,
we have the salt air, we have humidity, high humidity, the moisture, just all this. We have the high winds, the rain that goes in every direction.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, a house is almost everybody's most expensive asset they'll ever have, and they've got to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to be part of that solution of saying, let us take some of the headache off, because down here, owning property down here, it takes a lot more intention than if you live in the Midwest and you can just build a house and it's maintenance free. There's no such thing down here. Stainless steel rusts.
Yes.
So there you go.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. And the fact that you have the foresight to always be thinking a couple of years down the road and then reimagining your company, as we have talked about before, is so important to do because you can't stay the same. You'll get stale and then you'll lose. We've talked about that too. I have a saying that I love from the Bible that unless the Lord builds a house, a man builds his house in vain. And we're talking about foundation building. And that's what, to me, like building a house, right? And a beautiful house or the biggest house that you can build or a skyscraper. The higher you're going to go up, the more you have to go down in building your foundation, right? So I think it's really cool that you walk the walk and talk the talk with God, but then you're also building your business and figuratively as well as, purposefully all that you're doing right now. And I joke to myself, and I've said this to you many times, without God, I don't even know how a person could build a business or get into entrepreneurship because there are so many things about it that are set up for failure at the beginning or even like toward the end. I mean, it's just incredible, like how much you need to even withstand it. But I have joked myself of how long I've been doing this that I'm like, well, I know I'm doing a lot of foundation building like all the time and I've done it for many years. But I joked to God a couple of years ago, I go, what are we building here? Like a skyscraper? Because like how much further do I have to excavate down to make this a strong foundation? And but without it, you know, I wouldn't be standing myself. I think you feel the same way, but it is interesting that you are actually building houses and you are actually digging foundations too. So pretty amazing. Your story's quite inspirational, successful, and I love seeing all that you do for so many different people. And I will speak of a small but big example of like what a little act of kindness will do. So maybe about 2 months ago, Jerry and I were working on a Saturday and you came in because our offices are located next to each other because you wanted to introduce us to some new people that had moved to town. So we come over here in this office that we're in right now. We sit and chat and we all have a good conversation for a couple of hours. I have no idea that you're assessing my office and looking at it from your builder eyes. And then you called me up the next day and said, hey, I have some extra tile. You know, you don't have that backsplash tile in your kitchen and I'd like to give that to you. And I'm going to have a guy over there on Monday. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know it wasn't there because I'm going so hard. And there you show up with this beautiful tile. Came in on a Saturday. Your employee was done in a day. And it made the office look so much better and it meant so much to me. And it seemed like, well, that's just a small thing, but it ended up being such a big deal. And I look at it and I like seeing that better than I like seeing anyone else, anything else in the office right now. So I can't believe that you did that, that you saw it and that it's small, but that's what you do. That's what you do like everywhere you go. And it is a great testament to you walking out the walk and it's very impressive. Thank you for doing that. Appreciate it. What are some things in your future? Like, obviously, you have big dreams and big plans. So, like, what's next? And I mean, like, on not just the business side, but anything else that you're interested in doing.
Well, you know, the other businesses we talked about starting, I kind of forgot, you know, since 2005, I forgot about how much that heavy lift is when you start some new things. Mm-hmm. So that is taking a lot of focus. On the residential side, after coming out of the pandemic, I realized that a lot of people grew really, really fast, and we grew pretty fast, mm-hmm. and I just realized there's a lot of fundamental things, blocking and tackling, that we've got to go back to just refine our processes, get better again, get new people in, relearn skills again, so we're doing that. Mm-hmm. One of the neat things that I've played around with is a 3D printed house, and I did this in Panama City, all steel, and just to know, again, how this technology, how we can do things better, and just innovative. So that's mm-hmm. There's a lot of things like that.
Is that done?
Yeah, it's done and someone bought it and wow. I'm going to do another one. So I'm trying to, that's more my like my chemistry lab over there. And then when I can bring it over here and try it on a little bit, you know, the larger homes, more mm-hmm. complicated homes. But I started with something really easy because I see a lot of people who are afraid to try anything mm-hmm. and they don't ever do anything. So I'll go over there and I've done that on a lot mm-hmm. of things. Mm-hmm. Try it over there. Then
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, it's it was neat.
Yeah. So, what other things are like the wave of the future? Because I know some of your friends that I had met that day that I was talking about in the office. Mm-hmm. They're doing really cool things too. What are some of the things that they're doing with building technology?
It's a lot of that conversation that happened in the early 2000s, where you know you talk about modular construction, which is offsite, you know, doing things in factory, but then bring it all out and very quickly erect, you know, several story or multifamily, things like that, or mm-hmm. even tiny homes or workforce housing, mm-hmm. or just there's so many people that need a place to live, mm-hmm. you know, and they just need a safe, mm-hmm. you know, place to live. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be incredible, you know, mm-hmm. huge.
Right.
So those are some of the things that I'm working closely with them on design and go ahead and putting yeah. some models up and seeing mm-hmm. if we can do some things where we can build a house that doesn't take a year. We can maybe do it in a couple months.
Yeah. That's for Jerry and I. That is one of our desires that we could be able to do as well. him being an architect and with my marketing background, is just like, we can see the future is going to need so like a magnificent plan of attack for housing for people. And if it's not figured out, like, there is going to be a homeless epidemic unlike anything that we've ever seen. So I want to see what that looks like and all that's going on there. I think that's really great of you to stay up to date and all that. Because V Speaks, the ethos of the podcast is generally to enlighten and encourage and share some inspiration. What would be some words of wisdom that you would share about anything that you want?
Well, I have to say, we've talked a lot about building and things like that, but I would say that my faith is something that I have to, I look at everything through the lens of faith. I think about Solomon, who's credited to be the wisest man ever to live, and he said that if you enjoy your work and you accept your lot in life, it's a blessing from God. And because I have that and I feel really blessed, there's a huge responsibility that comes with that. And just like you and I, we're not pastors or anything like that, but I feel like everybody in my sphere of influence, just like yours, I'm responsible to them and for them. Not necessarily what they're going to do with their life and how they act, but if am I willing to try to treat them in a way that's exemplary to where how God would want me to treat them. Mm-hmm. I don't do it perfect, but I know that I'm accountable to that. And also the good news that you and I, we've talked about a lot in our conversations, are we willing to share with them mm-hmm. this peace that we have, this mm-hmm. hope that we have, and that desire to keep going and always, like the principle of the talents. You don't bury, if you've been given talents, you go and you invest and you grow it, and that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So just trying to bring that to the people that God has put, and again, none of this is chance. When you think about how God mm-hmm. thought about you and me and mm-hmm. before the foundations of the earth, and he decided from the beginning of time until the future where he was going to drop us in, mm-hmm. the fact that we're sitting here talking right now is not random, it's not chance. Mm-hmm. So when you think about that and think about the purpose in that and knowing that we've got a job to do, and it's extremely gratifying when you're in that purpose and you know you're in that will. So I would challenge people to say, ask yourself, even say, the life you're living right now, is that, do you feel fulfilled? Do you feel like you're living your purpose? Mm-hmm. And hopefully you are. I don't think you can find that purpose outside of a relationship with Jesus. But I would tell people that they need to reflect. If you don't know much about him, mm-hmm. you've probably heard a lot of bad things about him. It's not true. So explore for yourself. I think there's some great stuff out there. There's that great TV show that we talked about, The Chosen, which really mm-hmm. depicts Jesus and a loving guy mm-hmm. that he was, and just not just this elite that's was better than everybody, but mm-hmm. he loves everybody. Mm-hmm. He wants everybody to know him. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people think that I've got to being a Christian, you're just going to have to follow a bunch of rules and be boring and all mm-hmm. that, and you're going to be a slave to a bunch of rules. And I say that. First of all, I'll say that it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a Christian because of all the evidence we have. So mm-hmm. like I was saying a minute ago, if you don't know who Jesus is and you feel like there's something missing in your life and you feel like your purpose is, you don't know what it is, explore who he says he is and see for yourself. Mm-hmm. Grab a Bible, get it in the book of John. Don't get the old English, get something that's easy to understand, but I just would encourage you. That's the biggest takeaway I can give people is
awesome.
Is to do that. I see a lot of people who are hurting really bad right now mm-hmm. through all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And there's also a false teaching that says, oh, if you become a Christian, your life's going to be easy and you're not going to have issues. Mm-hmm. I've been through bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. I've been through melanoma cancer, not knowing if I was going to die. Mm-hmm. I've been through a lawsuit. Been through Lyme disease, depression, anxiety, and all that, but I'm not bitter because everything, all those things I've walked through, mm-hmm. I'm better, mm-hmm. and I've learned so much, and God says, hey, I'm here to help you, mm-hmm. versus you go try to do this on your own. So you can either get bitter or get better, and mm-hmm. God's made me better, and I'm thankful for that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm still not where I'm like, okay, great, here comes another trial,
right?
But he gives us you know, he's given me this business and he's given me the strength to continue to do it. And I'll do it as long as he wants me to. Mm-hmm. And I want to be found faithful with this and
love
this
it. Platform. Love it. Well, I have so enjoyed talking with you. And I'm really happy that other people are going to be able to get to hear this conversation as well. I thank you for being here and for all and everything that you are and all that you're doing. It's commendable, but there's a better word, but I can't think about it right now. But thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening to V Speaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. And we got a lot of good news today and inspiration. And I thank my guest, Chris Birch from Grand Bay Construction, for being here today. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.